Case number 08-1252, Union Power Partners, LP, Petitioner versus Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Mr. Parrish for the petitioner, Mr. Kennedy for the respondent.
May it please the court. Ashley Parrish for petitioner Union Power. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. Question in this case is whether or not Union Power has a contractual right to receive compensation for providing reactive power services. All parties agree that if it does have that contractual right, the commission must and will honor that right. The relevant contractual provision states, this is in section 4.71 of the parties' agreement, that Union Power shall be entitled to compensation at such time as the commission accepts a tariff. All parties agree that Union Power did submit a tariff, and all parties agree that the commission accepted that tariff for filing. In briefing before this court, Entergy has conceded, and the commission has all but conceded, that the phrase accepts a tariff for filing is a term of art that does not mean commission approval.
The commission says that this argument's waived.
Your Honor, right. the commission does say that. And
so do you want to address that? They say you didn't make this argument before the commission.
Sure. Your Honor, we rest on 3 points on that. Uh-huh. First, we would say that the commission's rationale changed in the rehearing. From before then, all it said was that the commission needed to approve it. And the fight between the parties was that we consistently said that the commission's policy can't color its interpretation of the contract, that the contract needs to be interpreted independently. But the commission made no contractual analysis of the text to support its position.
I'm not following. So the commission says it's contingent on approval. That's what they said in the original one. Shouldn't you have responded, no, it's just on accepting, and accepting is a term of art which doesn't require approval?
Well, Your Honor, the reason for that is that in the initial ALJ decision, the fight between the parties was an argument on one side that said, Your Honor, you need to look at what the contract says. And really on the other side, the question of whether or not the contract incorporated the policy. And the point was is that we think that accepts a tariff was so plain, it wasn't the type of argument that we would make until the commission in its rehearing petition or rehearing order finally announced that it actually was interpreting it differently than it ordinarily would. And so our point, and we kept arguing this, was that you can't look at the policy when you're interpreting the contract. And the fact that the commission just said simply its conclusion that it required commission approval wasn't enough to put us on notice that it was actually making a textual argument that depended on the terms accepts a tariff. And what's telling is, in fact, in the rehearing order, when the commission explains its textual analysis, it starts off by saying that the phrase at such time is ambiguous. Now, we think that is frivolous. We think at such time means when. But the point is that we couldn't have raised that argument or been expected to anticipate that argument to fight over what the words at such time means because it wasn't in the commission's prior order. The same point applies to a term that in the energy industry is as clear as accepts a tariff, which is that never before had the commission suggested that accepts a tariff means something different than accepts a tariff for filing. So we were really fighting over what we thought the commission was doing, which was incorporating its policy and saying just as a general matter, we'll assume that there has to be approval because commission generally has a policy against allowing reactive power compensation.
Well, but what do you do with on JA 305 where the court is comparing Bluegrass to this case and says the language contained in Bluegrass stated in relevant part, quote, in the event that FERC or any other applicable government authority issues an order or approves a tariff, and then says here section 4.71 contains language similar to Bluegrass, specifically it states at such time as FERC accepts a tariff. I mean, that seems like it's setting up a parallel between approves and accepts.
Well, Your Honor, I would say that under this court's authority in Columbia Gas, that really is what's the type of thing that's vaguely alluded to. There's no doubt that if the commission had said in its initial order, as a textual analysis, we're going through and we think the phrase accepts a tariff for filing is ambiguous. And if you take a look at the rehearing petition, if you take a look at our rehearing petition on pages JA 3 309, and then on 311, and then again on 314. We keep making the point, particularly on 311. We say, of course it's the fact, that, and the phrase starts, I think, with to be sure, but we make the point, of course it's the fact that we need to actually file the tariff and it needs to be accepted in order for this right to vest. We repeatedly cite the language, this is on JA 309, where we say, at such time as the commission accepts a tariff for filing, we shall be entitled to compensation. And so I really do think this falls within this court's Columbia Gas decision, which says that when a party has been fighting for, at this time, three different orders, and it's asking the commission to apply what it seems is a plain reading of the contract, and the commission comes up with a new rationale, then we don't have to go back. And we relied on that precedent in coming before the court. And of course, before the court, we can't assume that the court has as much familiarity with technical terms as FERC would. So our fundamental submission is that everybody in the commission world knows what accepts a tariff means. And this distinction that's really come out on appeal here between accepts a tariff and accepts a tariff for filing really doesn't hold water. And so it's only natural that when we're coming to the court, we would explain more of what we think is really clear from the contract. Judge Tatel, if I may go back to what I think are the three issues that I'd like to focus on. The first, which your question is emphasized, is this accepts a tariff and why accepts a tariff has to mean the same things as accepts a tariff for filing and doesn't mean approval. The second point I'd like to make is that the Commission's reading of this contract, even if you could interpret the plain language to mean approval, renders the entire provision, 4.7.1, basically a nullity and wasted verbiage because we already have that right under the statute. And the third is that the way that we're interpreting it actually makes complete sense if you think about what the parties were contemplating at the time they entered into the agreement. If I can start with the first point, the difference between accepts a tariff and accepts a tariff for filing, which is really where the case hinges now on appeal, we point out, first of all, in the Commission's own orders, if you look on rehearing order paragraphs 3 and 5, which I believe is on 336 and 337, they actually refer to accepting the tariff without using the words for filing. Second of all, never in the annals of any FERC decision have they ever made this distinction before. Now, the agency does get a lot of latitude, but certainly in a case here.
Has there been a contract like this before that's been interpreted where they've said accepts means accepts for filing?
Your Honor, to our knowledge, no. There have been lots of.
There's nothing either way on that.
There is not, except for there is lots of cases and lots of authority, including the Commission's own regulations, that make the point that when the Commission accepts something for filing, it's not approving it. And that's my third point, is it would be remarkably odd to think that the parties who are negotiating a contract would use a phrase, accepts a tariff, that means sounds almost the same, means exactly the same except for a tariff for filing, but would actually.
Well, it's remarkably odd with the amount of money at stake that someone didn't add the two words for filing.
Well, except, Your Honor, except for if you assume the fact that if you take a look at how the Commission uses it, it uses the terms interchangeably. And there's, we submit that there's nothing really else that the Commission could do other than accept, not approve.
What's your best evidence when they use to say they use it interchangeably and that it's a term of art? In other words, where a document has used the word accepts and there's no for filing.
Well, Your Honor, what I would say on that is, and maybe this is not our best evidence, but certainly it's good evidence, is if you take a look on paragraphs 3 and 5 of the rehearing order, and the Commission here is laying out the background, and on paragraph 3 it says, the Commission accepted rate schedules filed by two of the independent generators, Union Power. And then it goes on in paragraph 5 and says, the Commission accepted the rate schedules filed by the other independent generators. And my point is that you use the phrase.
The term might be, what about the idea that the term's just ambiguous? It's going to depend on its context, whether it means receives or means approves, right?
Yeah, Your Honor, I think 2 points on that. First of all, is that even if the term is ambiguous, I think under this court's interpretation of Chevron, you really have to apply all the tools of the contract construction. So even if it could be ambiguous in that sense, it wouldn't be ambiguous in the sense that you could defer to the agency's consideration without first looking at it in context.
Well, in context, what do you do with the words any other change?
Yeah, Your Honor, the key point there is I do agree that this provision is not artfully drafted, but what I would say is this:
notwithstanding the amount of money that went into drafting it.
Well, you're
the form, right?
What I would say is,
can you just Well, I don't want to interrupt, but I thought this was some kind of form that was adapted. Is that correct?
That's a good point, Your Honor. It is a form.
Well, I don't want to interrupt Judge Garland's question, so answer his question.
My question ended. Go ahead.
Well, let me answer both of those questions. First of all, the key is other change actually is other change in law or regulation, and our fundamental submission is that when you accept a tariff or the commission otherwise permits, it has to be engaging in adjudicatory proceedings. It can't be engaging in law or regulation proceedings. So what the parties were contemplating is that in the accepts a tariff or otherwise permits, that would be something that applies specifically to union power, where other change in law or regulation has to mean a legislative process applies more broadly. Okay. But Judge Kavanaugh, if I may get to your point, is that if you take a look at JA 258 to 259, that's the ALJ's initial decision, you'll see that what she does there is she talks about the difference between our contract and everybody else's. And there's not a big difference, but one difference that is key is that in our contract, they inserted the words or tariff rates. And the reason we did that and that reason that was negotiated is because it was very important to Union Power at the time to be able to file a tariff. Now, admittedly, this is a pro forma tariff that's been put, or the interconnection agreement is a pro forma agreement by Entergy. We don't have a lot of ability at that point to negotiate terms. But we did, and we did insist on the fact that we are planning to file a tariff. We want to receive reactive power compensation, and we want to change the words of this provision to specifically make clear that if we file a tariff, then we're entitled to compensation at those tariff rates.
The phrase otherwise permits is sounds like approves. You agree with that permits sounds like approves?
I would agree, Your Honor, that it sounds like, but I would say that, in the commission context, permits has a different meaning to it. And this is more ambiguous, but the truth of the matter is that accepts as tariff is very clear. When the commission permits a filing to go effective, what it's doing is it's allowing you to file and start collecting the rate. And this is actually, Your Honor, one of our key points is if you think about the normal process for how rates are filed with the commission, if the parties were not planning to contest that filing, which is often the case, the filing gets made, it gets accepted by the commission with no approval, or is permitted to take effect by the commission with no approval, and there's no subsequent approval by the commission unless there is some form of protest or unless there's some other reason why the commission wants to take a look at the rates. And so the point is that in terms of permitting something to occur or accepting a tariff for filing, the commission's natural sort of passive role that it engages in with these tariffs.
That's interesting about the passive role, because doesn't it accept the tariff for filing and then decide whether to approve it? And this provision would be rendered odd, at least, because by the mere act of accepting, the commission would have resolved what it's later supposedly determining at the hearing.
Your Honor, that's the other side's point, but actually it's not really odd at all in the sense that what usually happens is that I should say that it's not really a ministerial act. The commission takes 60 days to decide whether it wants to accept a tariff or not.
And for filing, you mean?
For filing.
Okay, and on that, isn't it has to be patently absurd or wrong, right?
And the reason why the...
It's like our filing rules in court, in other words. You know, you have to pass a certain amount of form to get through the clerk's office to get something even filed.
Your Honor, you're correct about the first, which is that it has to be patently against the rules. You're wrong on the second, with respect. And the reason is that, and this is why it was important to include the provision, Entergy at the time the contract was negotiated was lobbying hard for the commission to make a bright line rule that there will never be any compensation for generators unless they can show that it's actually needed. If the commission had adopted that bright line rule and had said we are never going to accept tariff filings, it would not have been accepted, it would have been rejected. So there's something more than just like a clerk stamping it. And that's important because what happens in these processes.
So if that had gone through, let me just make sure I understand this, the commission would have a rule that they wouldn't even accept these for filing. Is that true?
Exactly. Or they wouldn't have to even go that far. They could have a rule that says, as a general matter, we will not allow for compensation to occur. There would be a filing that would be made. In effect, the commission would look at this and say, well, if we're not allowing compensation, we can't allow you to file this at all. We will just reject it. And, Your Honor, you should remember that when...
What was the rule at the time? Not in terms of a rule, but in terms of the adjudications and what was going on.
Well, it was confusing, Your Honor. There was a big fight. What was clear from the commission's policy was that in their rules against anti-discrimination in favor of competition, that if you were compensating your affiliated generators, you'd have to compensate.
Leaving that aside.
Well, it wasn't clear. Certainly the commission in their brief, you'll notice, has argued that the general rule was that you were not entitled to compensation. But it was also clear that you could contract around that. And it didn't really matter at the time because all of the utilities were compensating their affiliates. So the fight was over whether or not that comparability rule would really stay in place or whether the utilities would succeed in saying it's a bright line matter.
Sorry.
No, my fault.
Was it contemplated that if you contract around it, the commission would still have to do something? Or could you just contract around it, without any commission involvement at all?
I can't answer that, Your Honor. What I can say is that it's long been the rule that if the commission has honored contracts and it has recognized that if there is a contract, that's sufficient. So going back to my point as to what the parties contemplate, and really, Judge Kavanaugh, your key question as to how this process works, is that once the commission accepts a tariff for filing, there doesn't have to be any subsequent approval at all. Now, it may look at the rates and the level of the rates, and you'll notice in the rehearing order, the commission actually makes this distinction that you could actually reach an agreement to have a contractual right to compensation without agreeing what the rate might be, because the rate gets plugged into a formula known as the AEP methodology that all
of... Is it automatically approved by passage of time unless the commission sets a hearing?
Unless the commission sets a hearing or there's a protest, the rate becomes effective. And so to give you a hypothetical, let's assume...
And the commission can make the rate effective but have a hearing and then order refunds.
It could do that, yes. But so here's a hypothetical example. Let's assume that Entergy and Union Power both agreed to abide by what we think is the contractual requirement. And we went in and we filed this tariff. Entergy would not protest that because it was abiding by the contract. There was no reason under those circumstances that the commission would actually engage in further approval. Now, let's say a third party came in and for some reason protested this.
In this case, they did, right? They accepted it subject to a hearing, right?
They did, although our point is that once they accepted it subject to a hearing, they certainly reserved their ability to look at whether the rate was just and reasonable as to what the level would be. But they also reserved their ability to look at the contract to see whether or not there was a contractual right. But when they looked at the contract, they should have said, well, the parties agreed that once we accepted the tariff, once the tariff was filed and we accepted in the ordinary course, the contractual right would vest. And that's our fundamental submission, is that the right has vested, and that's enough. Your Honor, I know I'm way over, so I will like to reserve a couple minutes if I could.
Well, you've used up your time. We'll give you a minute or two.
Thank you so much.
May it please the Court. I'm Robert Kennedy on behalf of the Commission. Union Power's argument here today is premised on issues that it never raised before the Commission in a petition for rehearing or otherwise. And I think it's important to consider the limited context of this dispute. The parties brought a dispute to the Commission that centered on one sentence from one section of one contract. It's about 130 words in total. And never, not before the ALJ, not on their brief of exceptions to the ALJ decision, and not in their petition for rehearing, did Union Power ever argue that the term except is the key to understanding Section 4.7.1. They never argued that it had a particularized legal meaning that governed in this case. And there is no reasonable grounds for their failure to do so. You walked previously through some of the sections in the Commission's order affirming the ALJ's decision, and I'd like to direct the Court's attention, if I could, to paragraph 19 of that order, which is JA 303. And in this part of the order, the Commission's addressing Union Power's contention that the presiding judge just ignored the language of the contract and resolved the issue on the basis of the Commission's policy. And the Commission said, no, the judge went through the language, and five lines down in paragraph 19, discussing the language of the contract, the Commission says, the presiding judge was merely pointing out that Section 4.7.1, like the FPA, does not entitle the independent generators to compensation upon the simple act of filing their proposed rate schedules. And that is precisely their argument here today, to say that they clearly this put them on notice that the Commission was reading Section 4.7.1 in a manner that did not trigger compensation on the mere act of filing, but on substantive approval. And if you go through in paragraph 22 of the affirming order, the Commission says that Section 4.7.1 is ambiguous, but the best reading is that it provides them with the right, it protects their right to file a tariff seeking compensation, but the ultimate right to compensation will turn on the Commission's substantive approval. And again, as you pointed out in the opening argument, in paragraphs 26 and 27, the Commission lays out the language of the tariff and concludes in paragraph 27 that the language is merely providing that the independent generators will receive compensation if the commission approves a tariff or rate schedule allowing it. That is the rationale of the affirming order, that the language of section 4.7.1 provides compensation in the event the commission approves a tariff.
What about the rehearing order, paragraphs 10 and 11 and 12 and 13? Seems as if they cover Union Power's argument that it, under the plain language of the contract, it has a statutory right.
What they are
compensation as soon as it's filed. As soon as it's filed.
What Union Power said at that point in that argument is that the language, the terms they focused on, the plain language they focused on, and you'll see it italicized in paragraphs 10, 11, and 12, is that the term shall be entitled meant. That's the mandatory language, and once it's filed, the shall be entitled is the key, and that triggers the rights.
Well, they make the point, though, that all this would be meaningless to have this if it just meant except for filing. Well, I mean, if it meant approved, I'm sorry.
I don't know necessarily. They never made that point. Their point was, they never focused on the term except a filing. What does that mean? That it has some different meaning than approved, and that it has a particularized legal meaning. And that's precisely the point. I mean, this is a quintessential issue you would like to have brought before the agency in a petition for rehearing so we could bring expertise to bear on the meaning of what's alleged to be, a term with specialized meaning.
What is your explanation
parlance
as to what they get out of this agreement on your interpretation?
What the commission said is that it protects their right to file a rate schedule seeking compensation for reactive power. It protects them down the line from the argument that because there is language addressing compensation for reactive power, that they somehow waive the right to seek anything other than what is set out in the contract. Now, with respect to moving on to the merits, with respect to what does 4.7.1 mean, I'd like to start addressing the point that's been made earlier that the term accept or accepts a tariff for filing has some particularized legal meaning in the world of the commission. And as you look through the orders, in this case, orders cited in this case, the word accept is used and accept a tariff for filing is used in a number of different manners. In some instances, in the commission's regulations, the term accept a tariff for filing is used to just refer to the simple act of taking it in, making sure the filing fee was paid, the forms are in order. But in other instances, the commission will accept a tariff after laying out protests that were received to that filing and making substantive rulings on them. I think the best example of this is, Judge Garland, you mentioned the Bluegrass case that's cited in the commission's orders. And it's very similar to this case. In the Bluegrass case, a transmission provider filed a proposed amendment to their interconnection agreement that said no one is getting any compensation for providing reactive power within the deadband. The generator objected. They protested. They say, no, in the agreement you're trying to amend, we have a right to compensation. The commission evaluated that argument. It rejected the generator's arguments, and you have the reasoning for that set forth in the commission's order. And then it concluded by saying, and this is at 119 FERC 61340, it concluded by saying LG&E's, which is the transmission provider, their proposed tariff revisions to Schedule 2 of its OAT are hereby accepted for filing. Now, there were some tweaks that the commission wanted the transmission provider to make, so it made it subject to particular conditions laid out in the order. But in accepting the tariff for filing in that instance, the commission resolves substantive issues. So the term accept a tariff is, as the commission noted in the rehearing order, there's some ambiguity to it. Does it mean the mere act of filing that the commission has to accept the tariff, or does it connote some sense of approval? And the commission found that looking at the language of 4.7.1 as a whole, that in this instance what the parties intended was to have the word accept have some aspect of approval to it. Again, they looked at the second route to compensation in which the commission, quote-unquote, otherwise permits Union Power to charge energy for reactive power services. And as Judge Kavanaugh, you pointed out, permission connotes some sort of approval. Now, here Union Power contends that too has a particularized legal meaning in the FERC world. But as Entergy noted in its intervener's brief, there are a number of cases where you see the same thing. The word permit is used to connote substantive approval. And its common understanding, as you pointed out, is that there will be approval. So otherwise permit, the commission looked at that and said, well, it has the term otherwise there. Therefore, it's reasonable to impute some sense of approval to the term accept as used in the first route to compensation. And then again, it looked at the third route to compensation set forth in Section 4.7.1, which is any other change in law. And clearly, as the commission found in the rehearing order, that connotes a substantive policy decision. And it just—
Am I right that the agreement says that it's supposed to be interpreted pursuant to a state law?
I believe there is—
Arkansas
there,
law.
There is a provision in there that a choice of law provision that makes Arkansas law the
when
law.
FERC charge. Interprets this, does it try to use Arkansas principles to interpret the meaning of the contract, or should it?
I believe, and I have looked at this question in another case, and I'm trying to recall the answer. I believe there is precedent from this court that says that the parties can choose, can obviously choose a choice of law to govern their contract, and that at least for this court, that will, interpretive principles from the designated jurisdiction may apply.
So do we defer to FERC's interpretation of an ambiguous provision if it hasn't consulted Arkansas law?
Well, I mean, the question is whether looking at the language of the agreement, and I don't think there's any particular provision of Arkansas law that certainly was brought to FERC's attention that they should rely
on.
Not
a canon of construction of the word accept in Arkansas law?
I don't believe so. I was able to locate a few, but they were nothing on accepts, and I'll leave it at that. But again, getting back to the third route to construction, the third route to compensation, any other change in law, clearly, that's a substantive policy determination would be necessary there, and the word other is there. So the FERC looked at that and said, well, okay, accept must also have some sense of approval built in there. And given that the commission's analysis—
I'm not sure why the third one helps you as much, other change in law or regulation, because whether it accepts it for filing or approves the tariff, it's not going to be a change in law or regulation.
So no, certainly it's not. And the commission is keeping these three routes to compensation separate. But putting aside a change in law or regulation, a change in law, as the commission found in the rehearing order, that connotes a substantive policy determination that they're looking at and making a choice. And it says, it just doesn't say any change in law. It says any other change. And the commission, looking at the three routes to compensation, said, well, because it says any other, the parties must have intended accept to have the same connotation there, that it's also some substantive decision is being made.
I don't know if that helps you so much, but otherwise permits, I think, is stronger. But
well, unless the court has any further questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Parrish, you were out of town, but out of time, but you can take 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that. I have 4 quick points that I'll make. First, on the waiver point, you'll notice the opposing counsel does not and is unable to cite anything like paragraph 21 of the rehearing order, where the commission actually engages in textual analysis. Everything he read to you was a conclusion that the contract required approval, but there was no support for that conclusion, and that's our fundamental submission, that its rationale changed, its conclusion stayed the same. Our second point, Judge Kavanaugh, is your question as to whether we also preserve the argument by at least making the point that the interpreting it to mean approve would render the entire provision ambiguous. My opposing counsel misspoke. We clearly did raise that issue. At paragraph 11, JA 340, you can see the commission is discussing that. JA 16 in our subheading of our rehearing petition, we actually raised that specifically. And the point is that their argument doesn't make any sense. We already have the statutory right. If the commission was to change policy tomorrow, unless the contract affirmatively precluded us from taking advantage of that policy, we would have a right to file something under Section 205. My third point, and this is somewhat similar, is the question of
whether there's multiple meanings to the words except. This is a little bit of a red herring because we should remember in this case there's only two meanings that are on the table. There is no third way. The meaning is either accepts a tariff, has the same meaning as accepts a tariff for filing, or it means approve. Now, the fact that there might be in other contexts some meaning to accepts doesn't suggest that the Commission's regulations making clear that accepts a tariff for filing does not constitute approval isn't extremely significant to understanding what the parties meant. And my very last point is the question of whether or not whether you should defer or not to the Commission and whether or not you should look at Arkansas law. All I would point out here is on page 20 of our reply brief, it's telling that we respond to the Commission's citation to an Eighth Circuit opinion dealing with spousal relationships for the idea that you do not look at terms in their technical meaning. Of course, Arkansas law holds just the opposite, and again, we cite that decision. We would suggest no deference until after the court has actually gone through a full, exhaustive analysis. Judge Tatel, your American decision from 2001 makes this point that Chevron Step 1 is not meaningless, and I thank the court for its time.
One quick question. If we get this, if we conclude it's ambiguous, you agree we defer to the Commission?
Your Honor, no, I don't.
I know you think we shouldn't get too ambiguous, but if it's ambiguous.
If you got that far, Your Honor, I still think that you could defer to the Commission only after remanding, because if you read their decision, it just doesn't make any sense at all. And we'll rest on our briefs
like
on that point.
State Farm kind of argument. Okay.
State Farm, exactly. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted.